everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I am your host, Kelly Alexa. Today on the show, I am joined by Tina Hopert. She is the founder of the very well-known Carrots and Cake blog. And today, though, we're going to be focusing a little bit on fitness, but more so on business. So this is part of our business series where I am interviewing successful female entrepreneurs so that you can take a peek behind the curtain and see what their life is like and how they run their business and how they make their money. I feel very passionate about helping women understand the potential that they have when they pursue their passion in making an income doing just that. And whether that means you're going to generate tremendous wealth for yourself or simply replace potentially the income that you're making from a job, and doing so enables you to leave corporate America, not have the crazy commute, be paid more what you're worth, have flexible work hours, more time with your family. That's the way that you really decrease stress and improve your health. So again, this business series is definitely tied back to fitness, health, and wellness at its core, but we are going to be focusing on some really fantastic topics, and you'll hear some wonderful insights from Tina, as well as some great tips. And we also talk about, you know, at the end of the show, would she ever go back to corporate America if she was offered an amazing, you know, tremendous opportunity with a really cool fitness company? And I'm guessing you know what her answer was. But this is a two-part episode. We went close to an hour, so make sure you listen to both parts one and part two. But sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this interview with Tina Hopert. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today on the show, I have Tina. I'm really embarrassed I'm about to ask you this. It's Hopert, right? That's how I say your last name.
Hopert. Yeah.
See, no, it wasn't. Every time I worry about pronouncing someone's last name, I do screw it up. And I've just known you for so long, but I always call you Tina Carrots and Cake.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever call you by your last name. Does that happen to you a lot?
A lot of people call me Carrots and Cake, and it's funny when I meet somebody in person, they'll be like, oh, Carrots and Cake. I'm like, yep.
Do you remember back in the day when, so for context, I told you guys about Tina, you know, she's one of our earliest bloggers from the Fitfluential days. She's been blogging and has been, you know, what I would call like a top tier blogger, one of the most sought after bloggers in the fitness, health, and wellness space for years and years and years. She certainly is a veteran, and I mean that in a positive way. I started blogging back in the day. When did you start blogging? I'm just curious.
2008.
Okay, I started blogging in 2007. The reason I'm laughing is I think about how when I started blogging, I was on Blogspot and I had a really ugly blog and I was using copyrighted images. I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, you and people like Eat, Live, Run and Fantastic Ann, and I mean, all of these, you know, awesome bloggers. I remember seeing your blogs going, wow. Like they were so pretty and perfect and great photography. I had no idea what I was doing. I was kind of hoping that you were going to say you started blogging in 2015 or something, and then I'd feel better.
back in the day that I did. Anyway, so Tina has been, again, blogging, and she's, you know, we've known each other forever. But I remember back in the day, like in those days, social media was emerging, right? Like, I don't think Instagram was even a thing back then. It probably existed. But remember in the early days that sometimes you'd meet people that you only knew on Twitter, and they never put their actual picture of themselves online. And so you'd meet them and they'd introduce themselves to you, and you just only knew them as an avatar. And to this day, I still have people following me, and I don't know if they're a 10-year-old boy or a 75-year-old woman, because they don't ever put their picture out there. And it's weird. Do you remember those days when you'd meet someone and go, oh, you're a man. I thought you were a woman all this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Even early blogs, same thing. You didn't really know who the person was if they didn't have, you know, image of themselves. So exactly. Totally remember those days.
So much has changed.
Yep.
Anyway, well, we won't go down a rabbit hole, which is what I could do. Cause I know one of the last times you and I talked, you were going on a trip to, I think, Jerusalem or someplace. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh my God, what's this deal with these micro influencers? Like, so much has changed.
Yes.
And it's part of the reason why, you know, I was like, I need to put Fitfluential on the back burner. I'm so tired of campaigns and how much has changed in the influencer world. But that's a whole other story for another day. Today, I mentioned in the intro that we are going to talk, a little bit about, you know, you are a very successful fitness, health, and wellness blogger. And sometimes I hate labeling people that way. But I do want to talk about your fitness background, because a lot of the services that you offer and a lot of the reason that people follow you and tune into you and look up to you is because you are a successful businesswoman. You're a busy mom who's fitting in fitness. But more importantly, a lot of people who are listening to this show are newbies to getting fit, and they're listening to the podcast and they're not as familiar with a lot of the stuff that you and me and everybody in the fitness blogger world are familiar with: counting our macros, you know, learning how to figure out our BMI and figuring out what we need to do to get fit and how to adjust our diet and paleo versus keto and all of this stuff. It's very natural for us to talk about it, but there's a lot of people listening to the podcast who are new. And because you offer services and coaching, I'd really love for you to start off, before we dive into the business part of the conversation, tell people, Tina, you know, your background. When did you get into fitness, if you will, like, you know, leading a healthy lifestyle? When was that for you, and why, and how did that inevitably become, you know, part of your business? I mean, you started a blog because of this was your passion, but when did you actually start helping other people get fit and healthy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I started the blog, you know, 2008, and I started it totally for personal reasons, just wanted a little side hobby. My husband was really he still is into fantasy football, but, you know, spending half the weekend planning his teams and getting his lineup and everything ready. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, I need to get myself a hobby. I'm just like sitting here watching TV doing nothing. So I was already kind of into health and fitness. You know, I had gained, you know, like, I don't know, 25 pounds after college, just from going from college to a desk job and sitting and, you know, going to happy hour with coworkers. Mm-hmm. And I was engaged to be married and I wanted to lose that weight. So I had been kind of on a journey, but really I just had binders full of like magazine workouts and recipes and everything. And I just thought, I'm like, oh, hey, like I could organize all this information, put it online, and it would be nice and neat. So I had been reading some blogs, so I had some inspiration from other blogs, but I mean, back then there really weren't too many. So I just started this thing on my own, and it just was a journal of my, workouts, what I was eating, recipes, things like that. And I started to realize that, my readers really responded to my lifestyle and, you know, what I was doing from day to day and planning for the wedding and everything. So after that, it really morphed into more of my personality and more about my life, and the recipes of workouts and that type of stuff was just weaved in here and there. And that's still what Carrots and Cake is now. But over the years, I've just really loved connecting with people, because I think a lot of times women especially just make health and fitness so complicated, and it doesn't need to be so crazy and complicated.
That would be me all day.
So like really just like connecting with readers and, you know, through Facebook and Instagram and things like that, just connecting with people one-on-one, I've transitioned to this nutrition coaching. And I've been doing this for about 3 years, just one-on-one coaching. And I love it. I love working with people. I love taking them from a place where maybe they're just overwhelmed by nutrition and food and meal prep and, you know, what they see on Instagram and everything. And just taking them to like a realistic place that like really works for their lifestyle and what they have going on in their daily life, you know, as far as family and kids and, you know, full-time jobs and kids, you know, like working and all that stuff. So I really just try to meet people where they are as far as education, lifestyle, and all that good stuff, because everyone's so different on their health journey.
I'm going to ask you a pointed question, and I bet you're going to answer it like without even thinking about it. When you work with people or even people that are just your readers for your blog, what would you say, because what you said a second ago, women tend to overcomplicate things. I certainly think there's a lot of bad messaging in mainstream media, confusing the hell out of, you know, they'll glorify things like, oh, here's Jenna Jameson losing all this weight on keto. And then everybody thinks that going keto is the answer. And they're just looking for a quick fix. And then they get into this, and I've been one of them, perfectionistic mindset. Everything has to be perfect and precise. And then they get so stressed about it that they don't even realize what they're doing to their body by stressing out and obsessing over details that don't really matter, when really getting fit can be a lot more enjoyable, a lot more sustainable, and a lot more simple. So when considering the fact that women can go to extremes and make mistakes like I have, overtraining, over dieting, way too much cardio, not enough weight training, what would you say in your experience are the biggest mistakes people make repeatedly that you see? That it's for people that are listening that are like, I've tried, because you've heard this. There are women out there who are saying, and I was one of them, I've tried everything. I must just not be able to lose weight. What are the mistakes that a lot of people are making that are really simple to fix and that you've seen once people have that aha moment, like, oh, wait, I was simply not tracking my calories. I was eating too much, or, oh, wait, I was doing too much cardio. What are the maybe top three mistakes you see people making that are simple to fix?
I think it's just what you said, kind of that like all or none mentality and trying to be like perfect with every single thing. And that's something I work on all the time with my clients. And I use macros as a tool just to help people learn more about their food and their habits and things like that. But really, I'm not the, you know, hit your macros, macro harder type person. I'm very loose with them. And I actually encourage people that they don't need to hit their numbers to see results, but giving themselves some sort of grace and just not being on top of things all the time is okay. But that all or none approach to food and nutrition, that, you know, on the weekends they might, you know, go off track, or they might skip a bunch of workouts because they're sick or their kid's sick, and they just kind of like give up, you know what I mean, on all the progress we've made. So I'm very much, you know, keep on trucking. The past is in the past. Don't dwell on quote unquote mistakes. And if anything, like learn from those mistakes and just keep moving forward. Because I really think that mentality like, oh, I messed up, or, oh, I've, you know, fallen off the rails and everything, it just hurts any sort of progress that you've made. And I think going with that, going hand in hand with that, is just having patience. Because I think a lot of people see, you know, keto or intermittent fasting or carb cycling or whatever the new trend is as like the diet that's going to make all these amazing changes in their life, and they're going to drop weight and look amazing, and, you know, all the stuff you see on social media. But really, those things can work for a lot of people, but I think you have to look at the longer term. So that's why I've started to work with clients minimum of 3 months, because you're not going to see progress in 4 weeks or 8 weeks. You really need 3 months, 6 months, a year to see progress. And I think when people start to think about the changes they're making as changes they're going to make for the rest of their life or a really, really long time, I think that's when the magic happens. Because if you're just thinking about a diet that you're going to be on track for a certain amount of time, and then when the diet's over, you're just going to kind of go back to your old way of life, it's never going to work for the long term, because all the weight's going to come back. You know, all the old habits are going to come back, and it's like you've, you know, made no progress. So I'm very much big on, you know, is this something that you can sustain for a long term and make sense for your lifestyle?
That's so true, because we're such an instant gratification society. And I am just as guilty of this as the next person. And yet sometimes I know that I think I'm not. I look at other people who are, they have a lot of weight. They're just more friends from my corporate life, like before I started Fitfluential, and they're in the agency world, and I'll see them post on Facebook, and it's usually men who are like, oh, I just went to the doctor. I've got to lose 50 pounds, 75 pounds. I think I'm going to go keto. And I remember this other guy, I've watched him post similar kinds of posts over the past 3 or 4 years. And every time he goes to get his annual checkup, his doctor's like, you're 75 pounds overweight, you're 90 pounds overweight, you know, keeps getting progressively worse. And each time he gets this idea that he's going to go on some extreme diet. And most recently he put something up, he goes, so my doctor said my cholesterol's high, I'm, you know, 75 pounds overweight, blah, blah, blah. I think I'm going to buy a Peloton bike. And I'm like, you know, I just can see that what people are doing is going, they have a wake up call and they go, wow, I am so out of shape. And then it's just what we think about in this country. What's the fastest fix? Is there a pill for this? Is there a fast I can go on? What's the, like you said, the trend? And instead, what we really should be doing is going, golly, it took me a while of, you know, eating bad and not working out to get here. Let me commit to the long term. And it's funny that you brought that up, because just about 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine who I've never met in real life, she posted on social media and she shared in a private Facebook group. She goes, I'm 51 years old and I wanted to share with you guys that I made a commitment to myself a year ago to just stay within my caloric window. Not going to focus on macros necessarily, but just here's my caloric window. I'm going to make sure I move, do some kind of workout 4 days a week. This was my commitment. I didn't make it public, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, after a year, I've lost 18 pounds. I feel better. My skin looks good. I've been drinking water. You know, like she just said, I'm going to give myself a year instead of, you know, 3 weeks or 30 days. It was so inspiring. It made me start to kind of look back at how important it is, back to what you said, to look at this as, how can I make this part of my life, not some extreme diet? I hope that we can get more people on the show to talk about this, because the more that we can get away from this instant gratification mindset and understand, like, let's really find a way we can live and not say, I'm never having fruit again because fruit is bad, it's sugar, or I'm never having carbs again because carbs are the only reason I've gotten fat. Maybe the reason that you've gotten fat is you've just been eating too much and not working out at all. Sometimes it can be back to the basics, but I'm digressing. I love that you've taken your passion and you offer coaching for other people, because so many people need just the basics. At the end of the show, for everybody listening, we will have her provide for us, you know, how you can get in contact with Tina if you want to work with her one-on-one, because she offers the nutrition coaching. And then she also has some macro programs, which quite a lot of you have written in saying, I have no idea where to start, you know, with macros. This is what I need help with. And I can just tell you that Tina is someone I've known for years. She is ridiculously fit, very well, just a grounded human being. I mean, she just knows her stuff, and she's not some crazy fad. She's somebody I strongly recommend that you guys check out and work with. And I love, Tina, that you have a program that you're requiring people to make a commitment. Isn't it? Is it a 90 day when they're working with you one-on-one that they're going to commit 90 days? I love that, because I don't think if you're going to commit 90 days, you should even consider that you have a commitment at all.
Right, right. And I really want to work with people who are committed to it, because that's the thing. If I'm doing this coaching thing, I want to get people results. So I don't want people half in, half out. I want them to be ready for a full immersion, ready to commit to themselves and taking care of themselves. And I think you need at least 3 months, if not 6 months, to really see considerable results.
That's awesome. I'm excited that you're doing this, because again, you certainly have the experience and you're walking the talk. So we will, I will make sure that you let me know what those URLs, and we'll link up to that, of course, in the show notes. But let's move in. This is kind of a good time for us to move in to the business discussion. And for everybody listening, of course, you know, I shared in the intro that I wanted to interview Tina as a successful businesswoman in our business series, because so many of you, when we have polled you, have indicated that, you know, you, if you're working in corporate America, you're not happy with either your earnings or your state of life in corporate America, meaning like you're tired of the hours you work, you're tired of not getting promoted, you're tired of the commute, not seeing your family, not having time for health and fitness. Many of you indicated you would be interested in, you know, learning how to blog, learning how to earn money from a blog, learning opportunities for a side hustle that could inevitably be something that might replace your job. So this is why we're doing this business series, because I feel, hey, I've got this podcast that's dedicated to helping you get healthy and well. And a big part of getting healthy and well and seeing results in the gym is about decreasing your stress. And to me, one of the number one sources of stress can be our job slash income. And that's why I'm covering women who are doing what they love for either a side hustle or a full-time income, because I want to just showcase to all of you ladies that are listening, here's different ways that you can start, again, side hustle money or inevitably making full-time income from real women who have been there and done that. So Tina, what I want to ask you first is, you know, you started your blog back in 2008, and inevitably, not only did you start making money as a blogger through sponsored content and through ads on your site, but you also then became, you know, this person who's offering your own business services. And I'm curious, did you, when you started your blog, was this natural for you to feel confident enough to be making money? I mean, I know you didn't start your blog thinking, I'm going to make money. But one of the biggest things that I hear from women is, I can't do that. I'm not confident. I'm not assertive. I could never negotiate. I can't charge. I don't know what to charge. Why would I charge? How can I compete? Like, there's this massive insecurity. And I'm curious, were you confident when you started making money? Did you feel confident about yourself? Or did that build up over time?
Oh my gosh, I definitely was not confident. I think that's maybe why I was so good as a blogger, because, you know, I'm very much an introvert, but, you know, behind the computer, you know, a lot of my personality came out. And I think that's why I grew such a big following in the beginning. And I actually remember, you know, turning down speaking engagements and things like that, because I just was not confident. I didn't know how to talk in front of a group, and I was really nervous. But over time, I've forced myself to do more and more of that. So now I make videos all the time. I speak in front of groups. Like, a lot has changed. And I think it's really one of those things. Once you do it a couple times, you start to believe in yourself and you start to see that, like, anything's possible. And like, this is going to sound like a little bit cheesy, but this is really what I believe. If you, excuse my language, give a shit, I really do think anything is possible. And I've just learned that over the years, and even stuff that I'm unsure about or scared about or something like that, as long as I care about it deep down, it's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. And I know I will. And sometimes it just takes a little bit longer or more steps than you intended. But I really do think if you just force yourself to do it and you make it happen, you really might surprise yourself.
It's almost like, and I don't want to say, I just, that's a bumper sticker moment that I'm going to have to quote you on. But I do love what you said about, if you give a shit, anything is possible. And I truly think that that is a key point, because one of the things, as you know, Tina, that I'm passionate about, which is why I'm not intending to plug my own course, but I'm just referencing it. I created a course for women with the goal of helping them become more confident in selling. But really, after I created my course, I realized it was more behavioral. But in general, women tend to get all worried about selling. And the truth is, in my opinion, no matter what your business is, so if you're listening and you want to start a blog, you want to make money from your blog, somehow down the road, you will be selling. You will be selling yourself to a sponsor, to an ad partner, potentially to somebody who wants to do sponsored work with you. If you create your own ebook or your own online training program, or like Tina, your nutrition coaching, if you have a book, you're selling yourself to a publisher. Inevitably, sales to some degree will be part of what you do. But back to what Tina said a second ago, if you're doing what you love and you're passionate about it and you're not ripping people off, like, I don't know, I'm thinking of who's the guy in jail for the Ponzi scheme. I can't or Bernie Madoff. You know, like if you're not robbing people of their money, if you're providing a service or a product and you're serving other people, then be passionate about that and be bold and don't be timid to go out there and go balls to the wall. And I think that's what holds a lot of women up is they think, oh, I'm being pushy. I don't want to be pushy. Are you offering something awesome that could help people? Are there, yes, then go for it. Have you had that problem hold you up in the past, or have you always been able to be like, hey, this is something that I absolutely believe in, and so I'm not ashamed to share it. I'm not embarrassed to be excited to share it with other people for the sake of, hey, it's going to be an exchange of money for my product. Have you ever been not confident in that area?
Well, you know what? As you're saying all this, it makes me think of my experience with Beauty Counter. So I'm a Beauty Counter consultant. And when I first started, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to get into this whole Beauty Counter thing. You know what I mean? Just the whole MLM and all that stuff. But I ended up trying some of the products after I had my son, and I was really, you know, I was still breastfeeding and everything, and I was kind of nervous about the products I was using on my body. And I fell in love with the products, and it just became easy to tell people about it. You know what I mean? So I almost felt like I wasn't selling in a sense. I was just like, no, really, I like these products and they perform well. And that's the thing, just what you're saying. If you love something and you really believe in it, I don't feel like it's, you know, like you're selling like snake oil or being sleazy about it. You just truly love it. And that's the way I feel about Beauty Counter, especially with my coaching, because I feel like what you were saying, like I walk the walk, talk the talk, like what I'm doing with clients is 100% what I would do in my own life. And like I said, I would totally meet them where they are as far as what they need and just realistic expectations of what's going to work in their life and what's going to work for the long term. But yeah, even though I'm selling, it's not, I don't feel icky about it. You know what I mean? Because I really am excited about anything that I feature on my blog or Instagram or anything like that.
Well, and I honestly think, and this is why I'm excited to have this series, is the more that, so, you know, really the people that feel icky are the people who right now are either not making any money, or they're working in corporate America and they hate their job, and they're, you know, I actually just recorded a solo show on this topic. You know, I say to people, stop letting your hangups be your holdups. And what I meant in that show is, if you have a hangup and you say, oh my God, that's an MLM, it's a network marketing company, or, you know, I use the example of chiropractors, right? A lot of people have a hangup about chiropractors and they've never been to one, but they'll say things like, oh, I've heard they're really bad, they'll mess you up. And I'm like, where did you hear that? And the truth is, I used to be one of those people. And I would talk badly about chiropractors and I have no idea where the information came from. And the truth is, once I went to a chiropractor, it really helped me. Is a chiropractor for everybody? No. But we should focus on making informed decisions. I think that the people who feel icky and uncomfortable about, oh, I don't want to join an MLM, I couldn't sell, or I don't want to start my own business because I'm not comfortable selling. The more that we share just stories from other women who are like, hey, it's okay. You know, if you're excited, you're going to have some people. If you're a beach body coach, if you are a, you know, a Beauty Counter rep, if you're a Pampered Chef rep, if you start your own ebook and you're pushing it out there, and by pushing it, I mean in a good way, right? If you're promoting your own stuff, you will have people. And this is something you have to be comfortable with. You're going to have people who go, no thanks, or I'm not interested. Or in this case, I'm sure, Tina, in your Beauty Counter business, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to, you know, pull back the curtain on what are MLMs, what is network marketing, and what are people who are actually in this business, in these types of businesses who are making money like yourself, what's that business like? But in the context of Beauty Counter and potentially even with your nutrition coaching, how do you handle it? Was it hard for you when you were rejected in the beginning? Like was that difficult? Because I think that's another thing that holds women back is the fear of rejection.
Honestly, I just shake it off. I mean, I think it's like anything, especially when I have a team now that works with me, on my Beauty Counter team. And anytime they feel hesitant or anything like that, it goes back to just believing in the product and being excited about it. And also, I 100% think people are busy. So I'm like, if somebody didn't reply to you or they don't answer your email or whatever, your text about your inquiry about Beauty Counter, I'm like, follow up. I'm like, don't be afraid to follow up. I mean, if you think about how busy everybody is,
right.
I think sometimes people just need a reminder. But really, I mean, I go into it with like no fear because I believe in the products. I like the products. And like you said, it's not for everybody, but there are people it is for. And if you're helping them out, I think that's what it's all about.
You have reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Tina Hoper. Be sure to tune into part two.